As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli. And today, the Laurie Oaks interview, Peter Garrett doesn't want you to hear. We've got it. It's dynamite stuff.
Is Richard Marsden assimilating to our Australian way of life?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Stupid crime. The bar has been raised as stupid criminals take to shooting each other's in the buttocks in a desperate attempt to get on the show.
Cate Blanchett helping out new bits of Sydney theatre. How arty.
Are you under the thumb of a nutbag, Katie Holmes style? And who's your favourite movie character? Obscure ones only, please.
Who's your favourite dog artist?
What? We're answering the big questions today. Where do you get one of them Ukrainian swim coach haircuts? The Ukraine, I'm guessing.
And what's going on with Crystal's column in Zoo, Mr. Ballsack's gone quiet?
It's all coming up on Get This, where our panel operator yesterday attempted to beat the station's new drug test by passing off a Queensland jockey's urine as his own.
Let's just say he did have a sore backside.
But Ricky's behind was just about to get a whole lot sorer.
That'd be those Dexys Midnight Runners. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Get This right around Australia on the Triple M network, of course. Myself, Tony Martin, Ned Cavalli's
hi,
here.
Hi.
Richard Marsden pushing buttons.
Give myself some applause.
Dexys Midnight Runners, a bit of dancing going on there.
Singing, I think you'll find. I was just thinking, well, I know something about that song.
I used to
have a friend who worked at the Retro nightclub in Sydney.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful place. And he said that was the number one, Rich.
Is that right?
The number one song on a Friday night for those working in offices to loosen the tie, let go, and just like, go the pash on the dance floor.
Yeah, it's a big one for footy teams after they've won a game.
Okay.
Is it?
Put
same
their
kind
hands
of feel?
Each other.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, sing along.
Well, Jugs of Illusions. Away they go.
Sean Hughes was here and he said they're getting back together, the Dexys Midnight Runners.
They could play live in the retro clubs and guarantee it.
The last time I saw the lead singer of that band, Kevin Rowlands, he was on stage making a fool of himself at Glastonbury about 5 years ago in a dress. Just on his own, dancing around in a dress going,
Not as embarrassing as the overalls, though.
Of course not.
But there's no... I was saying off air that we need to hold a concert. Mm. It's a concert where we sing.
Yeah.
We sing popular tunes.
Do you have a list of all the things you've said off air that we need to do? We've got to get this Capril nonsense to work before we do that.
No, as a closer to Capril, we'll hold a concert where we'll sing popular... I would love to do a version of Straight Lines by Silverchair.
I wrote down I reckon I've cracked that. I have written down what you said to me when I arrived at work this morning.
What?
Tone... Does this sound like a plausible impression of Cate Blanchett to you? Don't do it yet. Let's just sizzle that up. It's coming soon. Impression of the day.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Peter Garrett, did you see him on the Sunday show?
No, Tony.
I mean, gee, they put him under the grill. You know, Laurie Oaks.
Mm.
He's not going to give anyone a free pass on that show.
And that Uncle Fester-looking fellow that's with him these days. Is that Brissenden? No, he's in the ABC. What's his name?
I'm not sure, but...
It looks like he could roll a 20-cent piece from the very top of his head right down, fly off his nose.
That was 20 minutes of Sunday last
Amazing.
Week.
Amazing.
Should have been up for it. Here's what happened when Peter Garrett went under the grill with Laurie Oaks.
Mr. Garrett, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Laurie.
Kevin Rudd announced at his climate change summit yesterday that he'll lead a team to China before the election to pressure the Chinese into reducing greenhouse emissions. How will you pressure them?
Laurie, I think the need here is for us to go to China and get a sense of what they're doing in terms of reducing their emissions. And that's, I think, what the Clean Coal Initiative has been all about, because...
Well, given that Australia already has agreements with the Chinese, what do you say to the allegation that your trip would be a stunt?
Oh, I don't believe that at all, Laurie. I mean, I think that seems to me to be an entirely productive exercise to be able to go there, to see what they're doing, and also to let them...
Two questions out of that. One, who is our Nicholas Stern? Who'll head it? And two, why do we need it?
Well, I'll answer the second part of the question first to paraphrase other people that have sat here being interviewed by you. We need it because... And then the Prime Minister's response, that the government clearly doesn't think that climate change is an economic risk to Australia. I mean, their argument seems to be...
Who's our next turn?
Well, that's something which I can't answer here.
Why has Mr Rudd committed the Labor government to greenhouse reduction targets?
Laurie.
Haven't you put the cart before the horse? You've set the target before you've assessed the problem and got the facts and figures.
Well, look, the problem's very clear in the sense that...
Yeah, you see, you say the problem's clear. Labor's already announced its solution. What's the point of an inquiry now?
Well, Laurie, I think...
Surely you do that before you arrive at the solution. Who's gonna save me? I thought you'd supported Sir Nicholas Stern the other day when he put that forward.
Well,
that's not answering my question. If this new Stern inquiry finds that these targets would actually have a very negative impact on the Australian economy, would cost jobs, will Labor drop the targets?
Well, Laurie...
Well, I would have thought you'd started to do your planning on what the report came up with. Now, if it concludes that these targets would have an impact on jobs in Australia, will you drop the targets?
Laurie... I'm an innocent victim, I'm just like you,
Ian. I've been home units with the brick wall. Mr Garrett, how can you support that?
Well, Laurie...
Can you see why your former supporters think you've sold out? I mean, you did a backflip on American bases on uranium. I mean, it's very elastic conscience, isn't it, Peter?
Well, Laurie, I've taken a big step to join the Labor Party, and when I took that step, and I did it willingly, I accepted that...
The US forces give the nod.
But you can't pretend to be a conviction politician, can you?
Well, I mean, that is part of being a team player. I mean...
Garrett, we thank you.
Thanks, Laurie. Just another particular deal. Ain't no doubt
about it. I don't know how he gets the whole band into the studio.
Amazing. Very tight they are on the cues.
What about stupid crime?
Love to hear some.
Let's cover that next. A Snow Patrol hands open here at Triple M. Let's get this around the nation. Want to do it? Let's have some Crime Watch. Bam.
Requesting roadblocks at every exit.
How about signing up with the chips, huh?
Oh, there'll be time for that later. What do you got for us there, Ed?
Oh, okay. Good for me. Man caught videotaping women's feet.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That old one.
Man in, he's been caught. Here we go. Oh, yes. The University of California, Santa Cruz. Campus police officers said that he was indicated and he was embarrassed by his behavior after he was caught filming women's feet in the university library. It's not illegal to film feet.
No.
So he's not, breaking any laws.
Sure. If he goes any higher, yeah, trouble.
Exactly right.
But just the feet, fine.
That's all he said. But yeah, he said that he found him with a video camera in the vicinity of students' feet. What he didn't do is he should have hid a little camera in his bag, but he took one of those upright TV studio cameras in with him.
Oh, that's going to be a giveaway.
Looks like a Dalek, and he tried to dress it up to pretend it was one of his friends.
Yeah, it was the crane shots, I think, that really drew attention.
The helicopter, it's hard to manoeuvre a helicopter inside a library. So he's been banned. Here it is. He's been banned for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Get off campus for 2 weeks. Go away. Refine the technology.
Thanks for pointing at me while you're doing that.
We don't want to catch you again, man. So
it's a downskirt.
It is a down thong.
But I think we can go stupider than that. If we had as many calls at the crime desk as we had about this case in Victoria over the weekend at the Cuckoo Restaurant in Olinda, where basically what happened, two bandits arrive.
Bandits.
They see a big bag. The guy's walking out the back with a giant garbage bag full of presumably cash.
Oh, yeah.
Before they could... Well, they get the bag off him, and then one of the bandits manages to accidentally shoot the other bandit in the arse. So that's a setback.
It's an arse bandit.
So they hop... It's an arse bandit! That's exactly what it is. And then they've made a dash for the car, gone, well, at least we've got this big bag of Russell bread rolls.
Delicious.
Sprung bad. One in hospital, one in jail.
Trying to use a bread roll to stop the bleeding.
Stop it, man.
Cutting into the profits.
I just love a story with the phrase bungling robbers. Bungling. That's the word you don't want when you're aiming for master criminal status.
They would have got a garbage bag full of main courses, but they filled up on bread, unfortunately. Always happens to everyone.
Shot through the ass, and you're to blame. You give crime a bad name. That's our criminal of the year at this point.
He's winning so far.
The ass bandit. The ass bandit's in the lead.
Here we go. Someone's gone the drive-through. You know,
oh, driven through someone's house.
Here we go.
But no one's injured.
No one's injured. Here's somebody. Somebody. Oh, Dean Blevins was in his house at 2:30 in the morning when he was in bed, and he said that he woke up because he felt some antifreeze on his mouth, and he woke up and someone had crashed through his living room, landed on him, and he stayed asleep for a little while. Before the antifreeze has started dripping on him. And here he says, if I had my gun, I probably would have shot him. Unfortunately, I've taken to sleeping with a blunderbuss and I couldn't stuff the wadding in time.
A blunderbuss, I think, is where you're thinking.
No, there's two of them.
A blunderbuss would be a fish that fires buckshot through its trumpet-shaped mouth. What are you talking about? Blunderbuss is a ridiculous word. Blunderbuss is what you're thinking of. That's your old, Yosemite Sam.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I was trying to get at. The joke was meant to be that he's trying to stuff the wadding, and he's already run off. Yeah. Look, there's plenty of other terms I could have used, like musket.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon now would be the time for you to bust out your incomparable Cate Blanchett.
I'm on a roll.
He's still sizzling.
Yeah, it's sizzle.
Still sizzling over two breaks. It's that'll be next.
Next break.
I'll get this. Is it that every time we play Noiseworks, it demands we play the Baywatch theme?
The dude at the Gaelic Club said to me that it sounds like all their songs sound like the feckin' Baywatch team.
I hope he was Irish.
I think he was.
Yeah. Maybe you should run that by David O'Doherty joining us in the next hour.
Excellent comedian.
The show last year. We're getting him back in. He's back for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Mm. Yesterday, a lot of people calling in to support Greg Fleet and his efforts to do the right thing.
Yep. Did well.
Well done on Greg coming in yesterday. You know, it was a big effort for him.
Yeah.
He's straight out. That was all for real. Mm-hmm. And when he was here, there was
You think people thought it was a stunt?
Wouldn't put it past Fleety. Might just be a festival show. Know what he's like. When he was here, there was a lot of discussions about MASH for some reason.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
People saying who played Trapper John. And there was
people or you two talking about who played Trapper John?
Callers have been emailing. And James Colley says, further to your Fake MASH man? Discussion, because it was after MASH.
Yeah, that was the one that we were really discussing. It was just, see, because, MASH, quite a popular television show, probably a lot of people have seen. Oh, no, not us. We're going to go for After MASH, the one no one's ever seen.
Clinger, Colonel Potter.
Okay, look, we've been
And the Priest. But listen to this, even more obscure, James Colley says there was, in fact, a third MASH spin-off, Walter, but it's spelled W*A*, like MASH. Starring Gary Berghoff as Walter Radar O'Reilly.
Yeah.
A pilot was made in 1984 which saw Radar sell the family farm and move to St. Louis to become a detective. The pilot was barely aired in the States and a series failed to eventuate.
That is Gary Berghoff, for the entire run of MASH, you'll notice he apparently is missing two or three fingers on one of his hands.
Is he really? Like Harold Lloyd?
Yeah, so you'll notice, and he was very self-conscious about it, so for most of the scenes with Radar, he held his hand behind his clipboard.
I didn't know that.
And his teddy bear and stuff like that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did he do that as the detective in Walter?
It's very hard to point the finger when you haven't.
And of course, never seen again. Can anyone think of anything he's been in since? He would have shown up on the Love Boat, I'm sure.
Flavor of Love?
Hiding his fingers. Flavor of Love?
He's not. I tell you what, he's not in. He's not in Search for a New Pussycat Doll. And we still wish them luck with that search.
Listen to this, another
good
MASH
times.
Fan. McLean Stevenson, who played Henry Blake in the TV series, died of a heart attack on the 15th of February, 1996. Roger Bowen, who played Henry Blake in the movie of MASH, died of a heart attack on the 16th of February, 1996, the very next day.
It's awful.
How's that for copycat? You going to copy my role on the telly? Right. I'll steal some of your gear.
See about that.
That's an odd coincidence.
Logie's time.
Oh, are we talking Logies? Yeah. Why is that?
We've got. There are now
just 4 weeks to go until television's big names pat each other on their backside to the annual Logie Awards.
That's what they do, apparently, Ed.
Is that right? It'll
take a while. look at this. So your nominees are out, right? And one, B. Lawson.
Lawson, the man who comes on here to.
Well-known slanderist.
Defame your. Onanism procedures.
Don't know what that is.
Just as well.
So anyway, Ben, who, if anyone watches Neighbours, and I do because my flatmate Kat insists on it, the other day he... did anyone see it? Where he got hit by a horse?
No. Was it as good as the bloke falling off the massive cliff and then just struggling to the top and just dusting himself down?
Hopefully better. They were at a racetrack. Of course they were. Anyway, and then some reason, a little girl escapes from a family picnic 3 kilometres away, runs all the way to the racetrack just to run across the racetrack where the only horse for the whole day is running past at that time. Ben jumps a fence, you know, hair flopping in the breeze, and, you know, pushes her out of the way just in time to get knocked over by Farlap. And then... There's about 2.5 minutes of Ben. They've gone, all right, we've got to make it look like he can't walk.
Right.
What are we going to do? Ben, could you cross your legs? Perfect. Give that man a Logie.
It's Logie time, is it?
But, Rich, I was asking you, how do they decide the gold Logie?
Well, it's most popular personality on Australian TV, isn't it?
Based on what? Do we vote?
On votes, yeah.
Yeah, there's a urine sample to be taken care of first, obviously, and then there's a written.
But John Wood. John Wood's up again this year.
Yeah. He's not even in anything, is he?
Because Blue Heelers is finished. Like, Josh Lawson sort of that.
He got the gold last year. Yeah. It was his big farewell to Blue Heelers.
Yeah. The big sentimental send-off.
Mm.
And now apparently it's for his role in Murder in the Outback, the Joanne Lees story.
Oh, really? Right. Where he had a bit of a mullet.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, Rich, how does it work?
No votes for Tom Long.
T Long.
His three lines of that should have been worth something. Here's those papers you were looking for. Surely that's a clip.
No dice.
Where's Rick Carter? What about Rick Carter?
Yeah.
Where is Rick Carter?
You remember his great dialogue.
Oh, no, he's up for most popular scowl in light entertainment.
Good stuff.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a tough category this year.
So are you going to do your Cate Blanchett or not?
Oh, is it now?
You're going to have some applause ready.
You ready? Yeah, right. There's a story that goes with it.
Oh, is there? Do we have time for the story?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, okay.
That was what we were just doing for the last 4 minutes.
Well, you could have told me.
You want to sizzle it for after the break?
Hang on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is going to be clearly the best impression we've ever had on the show. And keep in mind, you're up against Richard Marsden with his Peter Debnam. Let's hear it. Come on. Peter Debnam.
I'm going to have to step down as opposition leader. I can't find the exact figures on that. I'll resign some other day.
I love how quick he gets down to the speedos for that one as well.
It's an impression that everyone can do at home.
The bar has been raised.
Tearaway pants, speedos on underneath. Bang!
Better impressions coming up next.
Get this.
I'm psyched, pumped, amped, excited. Yeah, can't wait to see what happens.
Brought to you by Brian Stanley, known in Brisbane as the Great Gadzook.
Let's get this to the man who's calling up with the obscure MASH facts. We're not allowed to put you to air. You're getting too much publicity.
And you've got some stuff in court that we don't want to be a part of.
Yeah. Imagine what it would be like to be getting too much publicity. Is that ad for us gone into the Hunter Classifieds yet?
A lot of winemakers calling up. Loving it.
What must that be like?
Hey,
what must it be like to get any publicity?
Tony. We are our own publicity. You think people don't recognise Richard Marsland on the street?
And
trolling the beats?
This impression hits the airwaves.
Because whenever I...
Cate Blanchett, as you've never heard her before. In fact,
there's a story
I'm guessing
attached.
People are going to think the real Cate Blanchett's just what we're in the...
There's a story attached. So violent gangs have turned the George Streets... Why is it so quiet? Normally there'd be chatter and... Come on.
Oh, right.
It's rapturous anticipation, buddy.
Everybody's abandoned me. Violent gangs have turned the George Street cinema strip in Sydney into a terrifying haven for brawls and bashings. The latest victim, blah, blah, blah. Awful stuff. And a shop owner who doesn't want to be named has said every Friday and Saturday night, it's a theatre down here. You can just come and watch the street.
Look, I have no problem with violence at the footy, but leave the cinemas alone.
There we go.
Good God.
The best. So, look, if this is true, that makes it the best attended theatre in Sydney, probably the nation. nation. Thousands of people turning out to watch the theatre of street brawls every week. The organisers of the street brawl, the theatre of street brawls, is hoping to have Kate Blanchett on as director next year to direct next season's opening show, Punched in the Face at 7-Eleven. In response, she said, That's it.
That's it! That's it!
That's how she sounds. Whenever it's an interview, it's always just,
Wow.
You don't think that sounds like, that's like a tone. It's always like, in the film, I'm,
publicity deficit problem. It's just gone.
Deeply involved in Earth. I can feel the, I feel like a light switch sometimes. Turning on my talents and turning them off.
Gee, it's a bitchy world of acting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Kate Blanchett, isn't she?
Is
one
she
of
doing
our...
your job at the KFC yet? Is that what this is about?
Oh, listen to this.
Yeah.
Sitting at home yesterday, minding my own YouTube business, right? Get a call from my homie, Paul Ashton, my, you know, dude in the KFC ad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, they're showing it in Darwin. Didn't tell us.
Ooh.
That's extra cash.
Is that territory money?
That's territory money, y'all.
That's $28.50 extra folding coming your way. Hey, let's have some music. What have we got?
Oh, that's it. So no one else is going to talk about anything else.
Well,
just the horrible lingering stain of that Kate Blanchett impersonation.
Oh, I love Kate Blanchett. We've
polluting the problem.
We're going to play Under Your Thumb. That's coming up.
Right.
That's coming up next. And here's Ed Cavalier doing something.
Electronic wobble blob.
Oh, yeah, electronic wobble.
Maybe just feedback.
Me in the floor show. Something in the something or other. The girls getting hot and the boys even more so. Girls.
Let's get this around the nation. That's a bit of Fallout Boy. You're listening to Triple M.
They can do like a, they can play and spin the guitar and then catch it again. It's amazing.
That's wild.
Kids are loving it.
Always essential. But motoring bodies are urging motorists to fill up their petrol tanks today.
Oh, yeah.
We'll face the steep rises for Easter.
The gouge.
They're coming. Federal Treasurer Peter Costello warned petrol retailers not to collude to artificially jack up the price at the pump this week. Adding, though, if you do, we won't do anything about it, so don't worry. We've been turning a blind eye to the banks and their fees for years. Why should we treat you any differently?
Strange announcement to make.
And then he also just added something about Kevin Rudd being a murderer, as he's wanted to do. Hey, do we want to do some climbing? Oh, yes, it's appropriate today. Let's get climbing.
Marina. Ariana. Oh, Bob Dylan by far.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. We're up Talkback Mountain. Been sitting on this for a while. It's probably happening now. It's not normal that a husband would want to follow his work, his wife to work every day.
Yeah.
And the writer of this article says, why can't Katie Holmes see that? Tom Cruise is demanding to be allowed on the set of her new movie to, quote, supervise her.
Fair enough.
What does that mean? He'd be on the set at all times as Holmes filmed the comedy Mad Money. I think it might be shot in Canada. So it's probably set in Los Angeles. It says Cruz wants to observe what's going on and will probably help his wife out.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's going to tackle her in case she tries to do a runner. While the Scientology mind is over at craft service getting some 300,000 sandwiches.
Maybe all the extras are Scientologists just keeping an eye. And if she makes a break, bang, they're all on her. Everybody.
But we're saying, you know, has that happened to you? Have you ever been to that extreme?
Is that a Rolling Stones song?
Certainly is.
Yes.
Happy days.
I know.
I love it when we get to play something that isn't Start Me Up.
Could we have Rocks Off just once?
Come on.
It's Triple M. It's a rock star.
Come on, Tony.
We used to have a giant winged demon as our logo. Couldn't we have something off Exile?
Sorry,
I'm just an old man.
Richard?
We do Tumble and Dice off Exile. Yeah.
You've been under the thumb, have you, sir?
No, you know what? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with the ladies. I know how to treat a man. No, I have no idea. And I'm like, yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, whenever you go...
You know how to treat a man. Only 30 apologies a day.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's under my mum's thumb. There we go.
Sorted.
There we go.
What a back out.
Must be something. See, I haven't got many stories like this either, except I remember I did go out with a girl who thought that I needed to be more sporting. Oh, dear. And so wanted me to take up indoor rock climbing. I'm going, you know, the rock climbing is for outdoors.
I reckon we should try and ease you into indoor rock climbing. What you know, say through something like getting off the couch, then perhaps lifting a box.
Surely there doesn't need to be any sort of rock climbing whatsoever. Why bring it inside where the good stuff is? The good stuff's inside. Leave the rock climbing outside where idiots can do it. I don't know. Didn't take it up.
Unfortunately, I was under the thumb of someone I wasn't going out with.
Oh, was he ever?
Yeah, not happy.
What a saga.
Yeah, bad times.
Oh, man.
And I've spoken before about cleaning spew off the car at 3 a.m.
Yeah, there was 3 weeks of this show last year where it was angry Ed Cavalier, the angry shock jock, coming in and kicking stuff, punching out the sandwich bloke even if he hands over a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't happy. Wasn't happy. So I was trying to sort of, you know, go into those repressed memories for the benefit of this segment.
Yeah.
And the only other one I could really come up with was the day that we went. It was so cute. We watched The Notebook and then we...
Oh, hang on.
And then...
That's massive.
Watched The Notebook
and then
with no return. But then we had to go because it was time to take the dog to the vet.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
That's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Oh, heaps good because... What?
It's the dog. You're doing something nice for the dog.
Yeah, but you have to, like, look at all the injuries and, yeah, you know, pick it up and carry it with the bucket on its head and it wants to lick itself. Oh, that's right. I had to hold the dog's head to stop it licking itself while, like, some cleaning got happened to it.
And still no action.
No action.
Well, that's interesting that you bring it up because I've had to actually express the anal glands of an ex-girlfriend's dog, so I'm pretty sure that... I mean, that's really...
Express.
Express them through dance?
What sort of rage? Through dance? I'm expressing the anal glands of a dog in my theatre show.
That's pretty good. Look at this. Hey. Speaking of dogs...
I want to hear more about that, but okay, what do you got?
Dogs expressing themselves.
Yeah.
Look at this dog. This dog has having an exhibition. 8-year-old Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, the cutest of all spaniels, has finished her something... 15th painting, an 8-year-old, and the owner says she's about to have an exhibition. But have a look at that picture. That's what you expect a dog to do. Put a brush in its mouth.
Oh,
and it's
just, that's pathetic.
You know, it just waves the brush crazily, you know, as you kind of pick a bit of a snack up and down and it follows it with its eyes.
Yeah, unless it's grasping the brush between its paws, that's not actually
art. With its own little beret on. And then look down the bottom, though, because they framed the other 15. Clearly, this is just the owner doing paintings, can't get them shown anywhere, is going for the it's my dog angle, and then it's just stuck a brush in its mouth for the photograph.
That one's very poor. That one should have been bagged up at the park. Dear idea. I don't see what this has to do with under my thumb.
Nothing, Tony. Nothing.
Nothing. Are you under the thumb?
Or Tom? Do you know someone that was under the thumb?
Yeah, in case no one calls for the first one. We want to hear the ugly details, the ugly Katie Holmes style details. Okay. Call myself, Ed Cavalier, or Richard Marsland, the pilot of the Anal Gland Express on 133353. Yes, no doubt. It is amazing. Thank you, Alex Lloyd. It's Triple M.
Richard Marsland expressing himself gland style during that song.
Expressing himself.
It's just lovely.
So that is the phrase, expressing the anal glands of the dog.
Yeah, I don't 100% understand it, but it's a relatively simple procedure and painless. I'm sure it's painless for the human being doing it, certainly.
Probably time to move on.
I will never be able to listen to Madonna singing Express Yourself again. It's just not the case. Hey, what are we doing? We're playing.
Did you see that? He wasn't even looking. Rich was not even looking at the panel when he hit that button.
I am that in tune. It is an extension of my body. I am a surgeon with this thing. What do you need?
Tom Cruise is stalking his own wife on the set of her latest film. Who else has got a story to tell?
Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm really good, sir. What's going on?
Oh, look, I was going out with this chick for about 3 months or so.
Yeah.
And we were really into it. But she worked during the day.
Yep, she worked during the day.
Yeah, she was a chef. And as soon as she finished work, which was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, she'd call me up and ordered me around to her place. And if I didn't go over there, he held a pay.
Really?
It was also the fact that I was actually staying at her place every single night for those 3 months. And
jeez, man, that's like a that's like an enforced holiday. So what happened? And what happened if you didn't show up?
Oh, it'd be hell to pay.
Really?
Hell to pay. There was also the fact that there'd be no action as well.
Ah, no action.
And who did you say was living with her?
I was living with her.
Oh, right.
She was living with her parents.
Are you?
As soon as she finished work, I'd be ordered around her place straight away.
Jeez, Ben.
I'd have to sit there and watch her prepare food and stuff for the next day until it's time to go to bed.
Wow.
I have to sit there and watch.
Yeah. He's actually finding that quite appealing.
Yeah, what's your problem, man? What's her number? But just what was the...
watching a woman make sandwiches just before bed. Oh, best of both worlds.
And, Ben, you got out of there, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well...
It was Christmas Day I got out of there.
Well, Christmas Day.
Timing.
You should have waited till her birthday, man. Would have had more effect. Nice work.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben. Hi, Clinton. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good, sir. What happened?
My mate was going out with this chick, and we were like watching a movie at his house, American Pie 2, you know, with the naked chicks kissing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his girlfriend would cover his eyes during any part with a naked chick.
Oh, and now this is in any film or any television
any
program?
Any film, anywhere we went, she'd cover his eyes and he'd just stand there and wait for her to take her hands off.
Gee. What do you mean by anywhere you went?
Well, like, say we were down the pool with a chick. Down the bikini.
Right. She wouldn't want to be driving and see a naked woman. That could be a disaster.
That never happened.
And how long did that last? Did he get out of there?
He went out with her for about 2 years.
Sucker for punishment, hey?
Yeah, I reckon.
What he should have done is somehow, put a little picture of a naked woman on the inside of her palm. You know what I'm saying? Every time we got the handcuff, thanks very much.
Like the x-ray glasses. Like that's the what they were. Glasses. A naked woman on the inside of the lens.
Thank you, Clinton. Hi, Damien. How are you?
Is that me?
Yeah.
How you going, guys? Love the show.
Thanks, Damien.
Thanks, man. What's going on?
Sorry, hang on. I can't hear. It's cutting out a little bit.
Nah, that's all right.
I think we just drove under a bridge. Don't worry. What, you under the thumb, sir?
No, not myself. I'm in the swimming pool industry, and basically I was talking to a client, and they moved into a new house and had a swimming pool, and his wife didn't want the pool, so they filled in the pool. And then a couple of years later, he gives me a call again. He said, oh, we've got a pool. And I said, I thought you filled it in. He goes, nah, the wife wanted one, so we put a new one in the same backyard.
Wow. So how does that work? So it had to be dug up again, or?
Yeah, no, they would have had to dig. Well, it was in a different place in the backyard as well, so...
a different place.
They would have had to dig up a new hole and everything.
It's like a really elaborate kind of Labrador arrangement, you know, with digging holes in the backyard.
Yeah, that's right. A bit of a waste of money, I'd say.
I reckon. Yeah. Jeez, well, there you go, Damien.
No, well, I think that relationship needs to end.
Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work, fellas.
Judge Cavalli has spoken.
Thanks very much. That one's over. Thanks, Damien.
I mean, you've got to be on with somebody to really concrete in a swimming pool for
something. Oh, yeah.
And then dig up a new one in the different part of
the wouldn't you just dig out the concreted one you already had?
Hmm. Okay, well, maybe on tomorrow's program.
That's one for the pool industry.
Give us a call.
Tell us what you think. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're excellent. What happened?
Well, I was in a bit of a similar situation to you, Ed. I was chasing a young girl and, flinging woo at her.
Yeah, fair enough, man.
And I thought it'd be nice to pay for an evening out on the town because she lives fairly far away from me. So I thought hotel room in the city, night of drinks. See where things go.
Well, I think you are pretty sure where you wanted things to go.
Wootown.
I knew where I wanted things to
go. What happened?
I show up early to the hotel and then get a call from her saying that her ex has had a family emergency and she needs to go and hang out with him.
How'd that end up?
Yeah, not too good.
Oh, that's... I hear you, bro.
Don't get involved. You'll be concreting in swimming pools.
Yeah, before you know it.
Someone will be putting their hands over your face when you're trying to watch the good bits of American Pie 2, and that's quite a wait, and really, frankly, when you get to them, you don't want somebody putting hands over your eyes.
Thank you, Bill. Hello, David. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Excellent. What happened?
Firstly, I just want to start by saying thanks for mentioning Shortbus on the program last week. I didn't know what you blokes were on about, so I went and hired it, and there's an hour and a half I'll never get back.
Yeah, we do try to warn people. It's not for everyone.
Tell me, David, are you into yoga?
No, especially not after seeing that. But I did make my wife sit all the way through it.
And what did she have to say? Are you still together?
Yeah, only Josh, you're starting to ask a few questions, I can tell you.
Look, you know, that's, you know, Short Bus has got a lot to say. It's about self-expression, isn't it, David? And it's about, you know, expressing yourself towards your own self in the privacy of your own home.
That's right.
But how are you under the thumb?
Oh, yeah, how are you under the thumb?
It's actually a mate of mine, Michael. I was meant to go fishing with him a couple of weeks ago. We organised it for the Sunday. Mm-hmm. He rang me the Tuesday prior and said, oh, look, my wife's feeling a little bit sick, so I won't be able to come on Sunday. I've got to look after the kids.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
What is she? Was she planning an illness for that weekend?
Yeah, I think she's pretty consistent.
Are you? You're a robot, aren't you, David? This is
this is Carl Stefanovic, isn't it? Listen to that. The face has come open. The wires are zapping. It's Westworld. I can hear it.
Quite incredible. Well, there you go. I would say that one's over as well, David. Yeah, that's
does not compute.
Nah, no, no dice.
I think we've got time for one more. Let's make it Shannon.
How are you, Shannon?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
I'd like to start by saying, Tony, mate, you're a classic.
There you go.
What have I done now?
You're a funny man.
Well, I don't know if this segment's proving that, but on we shoot.
All right, Shannon, your views on Short Bus.
Okay, long and short of it is, mate, I'm a musician.
Yep.
Met a girl who was a cashier at an RSL somewhere in Australia.
It's love.
And, got with her.
Yeah.
And, found out she's living above her current husband.
Oh, yeah, so you've got kind of a man about the house arrangement.
Yeah, right. So it's the old sneak in the side gate and don't make a noise.
Wow.
Right, sort of thing.
There'd be a lot of woo flung around there. Who's winning?
Yeah, well, so as I'm a musician, I work sort of 5-6 nights a week and go on the road, right?
Yeah. Oh, well.
She has these little spies out, mate, and I'm under the thumb because of the fact that 3 days ago, mate, my daughter's just come up from Adelaide, and I told her that I would be unable to stay at her place last night.
Fair enough.
And she sent some people to Brisbane to the gig I was doing last night.
She's got to make sure you're really doing the gig? Is that what
she's got?
So she's living with the ex-husband, but you're the one who's under suspicion.
And they came and told me.
This is amazing. She's got minions to do her bidding.
That's right.
And were they wearing a disguise? Or was it?
Groucho Marx disguise.
Groucho Marx came up, right?
Now, I think we've got to ask the question everyone's wondering. Is your surname Noel?
Am I Shannon Noel? Do you want me to hum a few bars?
Oh, no,
no, no, no, whoa, no. There's a little set him off.
He did say musician.
He did say musician. Yeah, yeah. Where are you?
I'll get you back to that one.
Thank you very much for the call, Shannon. Thank you, everyone that called in.
Yes, we'll be looking for the end of that story in the papers in about 2 weeks' time.
It's not good, is it?
I think we've uncovered some very ugly stories today. None are more ugly than your own, though, Ed Cavalier.
Listen, it could have happened to anyone.
And in the next hour. Guess who's joining us? David O'Doherty.
People watch The Notebook with people they're not going out with, don't they?
Get this.
Getting their kit off for the camera.
Brought to you by Elsa Mussolino, who's keen on one of the Pet Shop Boys' backup dancers. Elsa, I get the feeling he won't be available.
Because I can, if I don't, because I wanna.
It's the second hour of Get This.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
The familiar sight of a guest fumbling for individual headphone controls and not finding them. David O'Doherty, welcome back to the show.
That is a loud set of headphones. It's great to be here, and the ringing has just left my ears from my last visit here at this time last year.
Last time you were here, your name is spelt D-O-H-E-R-T-Y, so I've been saying O'Doherty all year, and then there was that Pete Doherty. Thanks to you, I've been mispronouncing Pete Doherty for the last 6 months. It's Pete Doherty, apparently.
Look, it's fine. It's fine. There's Shannon Doherty as well. Two drug addicts, basically. All of the other Dohertys in the world are letting the side down.
You've only been in the country a few hours and already you're tucking into a bit of Zoo magazine now.
I just want to find out what's really going on in Australia at the moment. And it seems like a lot of people are wearing bikinis.
it's that. You be careful leafing through it, because it's that mix of sexual titillation and hideous injuries that... Australians seem to crave from them glossy magazines.
Who killed the cricket bloke? Whoa, was it her in the bikini?
David, you've just arrived. You'll be needing some help with, I'm sure, local references.
Yes.
And events, you know, that have happened here that you can maybe work into your act.
Yes, to some extent.
No, well, whether you want them or not, that's what we're here for.
Okay.
It's
okay,
a service we provide for visiting comedians.
I had an amazing thing. The first show I ever did here, I was talking about a strimmer, which at home is a sort of a garden device, which is like an upside-down golf club you plug in with a piece of fishing line that swims around the bottom of it.
We have not yet got the strimmer.
So politely, the whole audience waited till I finished the story, and then someone just went, "We don't have a clue what you're talking about." And I explained it, and he said, "Oh, no, you mean a whippersnipper."
Yes.
As if to say, what sort of a stupid name for a thing is a strimmer? It's obviously called a whippersnipper. But then it turns out in America, they're called weed whackers. So,
and I'm sure someone threw a splade at you as you were leaving the building. That's one of ours. Hey, lots more bizarre references all coming up in this hour of Get This. That's enough out of you. You too with Desire here at Get This. It's the second hour on Triple M. Some more of that fake applause. He's back. It's David O'Doherty. Thanks, David.
And some you too as well. God, that's patronising. Oh, some in excess for you guys. Yeah, you must really miss home considering you left yesterday. Yeah,
I'll be weaving the phrase "to be sure" into every second line. Hey, last time you were here, you were waging some war with another David O'Doherty on the internet, and you were trying to make it so that if someone typed your name into Google, you'd come up first.
Yes, there were three main players in this. There was me, David O'Doherty, the violinist, who was angry at me because I once stole quotes. When I was starting off in stand-up comedy, you need quotes to go in your poster.
Yeah.
And he's a famous international classical musician. So I stole something about a standing ovation from a performance of his Beethoven sonatas. But then there was David O'Doherty, the mathematician, and he was furious at me because I'd got davidodoherty.com, the website, which as a nerd, I think...
took personally.
He had described it as infinitely annoying as well, which is as serious as you can get if you're a mathematician. Yeah. I think he is... Is that word. And so it was this race between the three of us trying to get to number one. And on any given week, it might be one of us getting it. I don't know how Google works exactly, but somehow it was like the pop charts. But since then, about 6 months ago, Nick Faldo, the British golfer, came out and he said, "I've spotted a kid who's 16 now, but it will be the greatest golfer of the next generation. A guy who lives just outside London, and his name is David O'Doherty."
Oh, no.
So he's jumped up the ranks.
Well, in 5 years' time, we're going to be gone. We're going to be nobodies. And you have the same name as that golfer.
But have you stolen that quote from Nick Faldo for your poster?
Whoa. That's
a good idea.
That would look good.
Next level. Brilliant. Yeah.
Now, last time you were here, you know, the press releases were saying, a nominee, or were you a winner for Best Newcomer of the Perrier Award in Edinburgh?
Oh, all of that. You can't really give prizes to comedy. It's stupid.
No, I agree. But since then, you were, I think, nominated for the main Perrier Award.
Yes, that's a strange thing.
And not enough to push you up the ranks?
People get very excited, but no, not that hasn't affected Google very much. Although I think I might be in poll at the moment.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so anyway. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you get. But has life changed since that nomination?
Since arriving to the top of Google. I've been away for most of the time now since that award thing. At the Edinburgh Festival, they give out these big awards, and you tend to get sort of TV work and stuff like that from them. So that people take you a little bit more seriously, I think, if you've been nominated for this stupid award.
Do you get now ads and stuff? Are people trying to get you to kind of become the face of, you know, insurance somewhere or any kind of weird stuff like that?
No. I have been asked to do stuff because I do a music show at home. I get asked to do these really dodgy ads for bands where I go, I'm meant to read out this thing just as a punter going, "The new album by the Blizzards is the best album I've ever heard." So my brother has the best. My brother has done some radio voiceovers, and he's got a very clear speaking voice. And he got his first computer recently, and he got the disc from Dell that tells you how to operate the computer. And he put it in, and it was his own voice doing the disc. It was a voiceover he'd recorded about 2 years before, and the voice sounded like it knew everything about computers. And my brother knows nothing about computers, so
he's listening to his own voice, going, "I can't follow this."
Exactly. Yeah. No, I have. haven't. I've yet resisted the temptation to do any of that there.
Now, David O'Doherty is my name, is the name of your new show. It's your, I guess, was last year your first time coming here?
Yeah, it was my first. Yeah, no, actually, I've been here twice before. Yeah, so this is the third time.
So you'd be right across everything, wouldn't you?
I think I know most of the stuff now, yeah. I mean, as regards funny references and things like that, you know, I know about Coon Cheese and Golden Gay Times and the things that, you know, international comedians arrive and go, that's hilarious! And Australian people go, yeah, we've actually been making jokes about that for a
while. We have one here. We had a prime minister who disappeared, went for a swim in the 60s, never seen again.
Yeah.
And then we have a swimming pool named after him.
Oh, brilliant.
So that, what you're talking about, is called a Harold Holt. In this country, it's the joke that everyone's thought of themselves. So what you should do is never make it in public. Never do a Harold Holt.
But it is. It's great to be here. This is really fun, and this is just when the weather at home is starting to get depressing because the winter is never ever ending. And then you come here, this tropical climate looks out window. Oh, what's that overcast? The same as at home.
Although there hasn't been. When was the last time we had some rain?
I don't think we've given up on that.
There was some report.
Wasn't testing well.
Yeah, nah.
It's useless.
People were fed up. The demographics were very poor on rain. Had enough of that. Hey, David, you have been working on a new TV series. It sounds bloody interesting. Let's talk about it next on Get This. Yeah, guys, can you do something more interesting with the drumming bit at the end this time? We're all getting fed up with the old one. Come on. Bust something. There you go. That's a much improved ending from Cold Frey, as we call them. How to Save a Life here again. This David O'Doherty.
Tony, that's amazing the way you can just ask recorded artists to change their songs like that.
Yeah, we got a lot of pull here at Get This on Triple M. David is doing an excellent new show called David O'Doherty Is My Name. Oh, I haven't seen it, but if it's as excellent as last year's show, it'll certainly be excellent. What do you get saying? People who don't like your show, what do they say to you?
It's people come up to you and they don't go, I didn't like it. They try and find something, search for some desperate positive. So it's normally, well, someone in front of us was really enjoying it. Or how do you remember all of that stuff?
Uh-huh.
Please.
I was at a funeral a couple of years ago, and I don't know if you guys would know who Leapin' Larry L is. Used to be part of Danger Lowbrow.
Oh, right, yeah.
Excellent show in Melbourne.
Show, yeah.
And we were standing around, and I'd made a film that hadn't been particularly well received a few years ago. And he was standing, and he's one of these people who, even if he's trying to be polite, the truth comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And he meant to say to me something like, are you going to do another one of those? And he came out with, you're not going to do another one of those, are you?
Oh, nice.
And his head just had been speaking on his behalf. The truth comes out at a funeral, I find.
There you go.
Tell us about your new show, David.
Yeah,
what are you up to?
This show is, I've been writing down facts for about the last year. Do you know you hear a phenomenal
fact? I love a good fact.
And, the one that by 2075, Honda say they'll be able to make a team of robots who'll be able to beat the world's best footballers.
This is so worth staying alive for.
Thing I'm looking forward to most is the post-match interviews, though, with the whole new load of cliches. Oh, look, the lads gave 110 gigawatts. So I've been collecting, yeah.
Hang on a sec. I mean, we've got one that can play chess.
Yeah.
But football, will it be running around
or just
wheeling Dalek style around?
What happens if it rains? Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge number
of issues. But are they humanoids?
There.
Are they going to be humanoid in shape, or are they going to be just like a foot? And then kind of, you know,
I don't know that. Look, I just got the fact.
Why are Honda getting involved in football? So many questions are raised by this fact.
I have to say, whenever I imagine robots, there's two sorts of your classic robots, right? There's camp robot like that. Okay, and you've nothing to fear from camp robot. But then there's hello robot. And they take over the world, I think, after a few years.
Fair enough. We've got some facts we can impress. I had a great one on the show the other day.
Oh, I need facts.
The most famous 3D movie ever made, House of Wax, directed by a man with one eye. Never got to see it in 3D.
Wow.
Andre the Top.
Here's a fact. Here's a piece of paper. If you fold it in half, okay, you fold it again. You can generally fold a piece of paper six times.
Six times.
If you could fold it more than that, if you could fold it 50 times, how big would that piece of paper be? I'll tell you how. It would go from here to the sun.
Is that right?
You keep doubling. Yeah, yeah. I learned that fact yesterday on the flight.
Not bad.
That's a phenomenal fact.
How about this? In 2000, when I need facts, I turn to zoo. And in 2000, Pope John Paul was named an honorary Harlem Globetrotter.
Really?
And he could, I mean, I've seen the Pope dunk. Right. He's very impressive.
With the hat and all
yeah,
that.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. That's the sort of fact you get from zoo.
I'm just thinking, if people come along to see David's show, they're not only going to be laughing, they're going to be informed at the end of
Are you asking for some facts? Are the kids going to give you some?
Well, if anyone's got any facts, yeah, I would be quite interested in facts. I mean, it's sort of facts and life lessons. Like, there was a great life lesson that I learned. It's my birthday is December the 18th, and it's 7 years to my brother. I'm the youngest. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of youngest, I always wondered whether I was planned, but it's something I never had the guts to ask my parents. Yes. But last year, one of my friends pointed out that if I was born on the 18th of December, I was therefore conceived on the 17th or the 18th of the 3rd, the 17th of March being St. Patrick's Night. So, was not planned. So that's an example more of a sort of life lesson than a fact. But that's what I'm searching for.
Something we do love to ask people who come out here from Ireland, have you ever seen a glass of green beer in Ireland?
Absolutely not. No.
Has there ever been such a thing?
Like St. Patrick's Day is a very American kind of invention, and they all pour over to Ireland. St. Patrick is the patron saint of people taking a dump in your front garden, and that's how he's commemorated for one day every year in Ireland. So, I don't really enter into the spirit of it that much. Although, I've been getting slightly nationalistic recently, because it turns out Ireland are brilliant at cricket.
Yeah.
A sport that none of us know how to play at home. So you have this bizarre thing where pubs are full of people going, come on, catch it. Hang on, is he meant to catch it? Is that good? Are we winning now? Have we won? Yes.
No, it's a dangerous game, cricket. Coach strangling is on the increase. Watch out for that.
Well, a few people, one of my flatmates, English, and some of her friends are Irish, and for St. Patrick's Day, she was saying some of her Irish friends were really looking forward to dressing up because they never would have had the guts to do it at home because they reckon they'd get a bit punched in the street.
Right, yeah, it is. It's a day of public disorder, at home. So, I lock myself indoors with a pile of DVDs.
Yes, it's very hard to resist beating up someone dressed as a leprechaun in the street in this part of the world. Hey, something we like to do is we like to talk about movies on this show.
Yes.
And we like to go obscure. Okay. We're going to do that next. I'll get this.
Get this.
I don't think anyone has ever been anything other than very disappointed.
Brought to you by Steve Bobola, who's bid $100 on eBay for Tom Sizemore's prosthetic penis. Hands off, Bobola. That schlong is mine.
It's Triple M around the nation. Get This is the program, and our co-host for this hour is David O'Doherty, a damn fine stand-up comedian who's coming to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, possibly to your town. We'll see what happens. David, we love to talk movies on this show.
Yeah.
Ed and Richard have been complaining. What's the problem, Ed?
Oh, I just said to Rich that we haven't been doing nerdy enough topics.
Oh, yeah.
We've
gone a bit mainstream with talk of sports.
Well, we were talking about maths a minute ago and violinists, so we go less mainstream than that.
So what are we doing? Obscure movie characters.
Your favourite obscure movie character.
Yeah, not actor.
No.
The actual character.
We will hang up on you if you... No, we're just... Yeah, so that's what we're looking for.
Do you have a favourite?
Whoa, okay. Well, I got a special edition of Jaws recently.
Oh, yeah.
Which has got a two-hour sort of bonus DVD with it.
Yes.
There's Dreyfus in that. They needed a scene with a 28-foot shark approaching him in a cage. Yes. But all they could find was 14-foot great whites somewhere off Australia.
Yeah.
So instead they got a midget
called
Frank Rizzo, and he got into the cage. And the reason Spielberg picked him was because when he turned up at the audition, there was blood dripping from his head because he'd just been in a car crash. And Spielberg went, "You're the man."
Yes.
And he came in, and I think he physically shot himself when he got in the cage. So I don't know if he counts as a character.
He definitely counts.
As regards obscure characters...
For Jaws, I would say the obscure character would be the mayor, played by Murray Hamilton, who when you watch it now, I don't hear a word he's saying. I just look at his plaid suit.
Yeah.
It's a deafening plaid.
Or there's a newscaster in Jaws who's played by Peter Benchley, who wrote the book Jaws.
Yes. Yeah.
He's the guy who's on the beach talking about how no tourists are coming there. I used to collect Star Wars figures like most nerds, and people always used to buy me the really obscure ones.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd say to your distant grandaunt, get me Luke Skywalker, and she'd go, did you say Salacious Crumb from from Jabba's Lair? So
I can still remember. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Star Wars came out. I saw it four times in the first week, and I we couldn't afford the figurines, but I would go to the toy shop, and I was fascinated to see which ones were going. Darth Vader, day one, gone.
Bang.
By the end, about 20 Tusken Raiders still left, just on the nail sticking out.
Well, my grandfather heard that I wanted the Millennium Falcon, which is like the coolest vehicle from Star Wars, I think everyone would agree. And he spent 6 months making me one out of wood. So it was one of those situations where it arrived at Christmas and it was the right size to be the real one. And then obviously I knew I couldn't just burst into tears, but that's what I wanted to do.
Well, obscure movie characters. I like Donald Pleasance in a film, and he always played pretty much the same character, and I'm thinking of him in Fantastic Voyage when everyone gets shrunk down, the spaceship gets shrunk down. And he was the guy who would go, we're all going to die, and run for the airlock himself. And then years later, a good 20 years later, that character was revived by Bill Paxton and in Aliens.
Yes.
As the, we're going to die, man. We're going to die. I love the we're going to die character.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 20 years on. We're due for another one. Someone else needs to become the we're going to die guy. Ed Cavalier.
Yeah, the guy played by Kumar Palana. Who plays, you know what I'm talking about.
Who always plays Kumar.
In Pagoda, in the Royal Tenenbaums. Or Kumar in the, also in the Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, he's in every.
And he's in all of them as well.
Yeah.
The great bit at the end of the Royal Tenenbaums where he's finally had enough and he just stabs Gene Hackman with his pocket knife.
I think I've got the most niche character ever now. There's probably the greatest act in comedy at the moment are two guys from New Zealand who play acoustic guitars called Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yes.
One of them is Brett McKenzie. Brett McKenzie had an extra role in the first Lord of the Rings. He was in the Council of Elrond sitting around and it was like he was an important character. In that he was very furious about who's going to take the ring. And he didn't say anything, though, so he got paid $100 for it. But nerds decided that he was the cutest elf.
So
They started to petition Peter Jackson. 150,000 people. They gave him a name, which was Figwit, which is short for Frodo is great, who is this? 10 websites were set up to try and find out who he was. It was found out who he was. Peter Jackson got 150,000 emails and subsequently gave him a line in the third Lord of the Rings where his name appears as Figwith.
Fantastic.
So
and
that's
people
it.
Have spoken.
And that's Brett McKenzie. Who is the other bloke from Flight of the Conchords?
Jermaine Clement.
He's in a very obscure film called Tongan Ninja.
That's right.
Which
shows
up on Foxtel occasionally.
My favourite thing about Jermaine is the other sort of Maori guy from Flight of the Conchords. He is the face of Down Under restaurants in America. America. They decided they needed someone who truly represented Australia in terms of how he looked and how he spoke. And so they got him, and it is the funniest thing. Look at the app. I think it's downunder.com. And it's just this big, burly New Zealander guy going,
is he in full Akubra and the whole bit?
I'm sure he is.
Let's hope so.
We need to get the listeners on board. We will get to Richard Marsden. Let's do it after this song. Call us with your favourite obscure movie character. We'll accept anything. It is
there
get
is nothing too obscure.
133353. Thank you, Flowers / Ice House. Here we get this on Triple M. David O'Doherty is with us. David O'Doherty is my name, is the name of his new stage show. You've got to see that. But in the meantime, obscure movie characters. Who's got one, Ed?
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Yeah, how's it going?
Excellent, man. Your character?
What's that, sorry?
Oh, well, which character, my friend?
It's Dennis the Anteater off Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles. It's an early work from Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson, have you ever seen that film?
No, I've never seen that. I've seen the one. What's the one set in a school in New Zealand? The Frighteners.
Oh, the Frighteners.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Now, what are you liking about here? About Dennis's work, Daniel?
Well, just the fact that someone with a penis so small can still be a star of a porn film.
There you go.
All done. All done with puppets, however, so it's not tasteless. Who's got another character?
Hi, Ian, how are you?
Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Good, man. Who are you into?
Christopher Guest as the six-fingered man Count Rugen on The Princess Bride. Possibly the campest villain in the universe.
Do you like The Princess Bride, David?
Yes, I do. I like it a lot. Yeah. In fact, I used to know it all off by heart.
What, the whole thing?
A lot of it, yeah.
I'm with you, David.
You're good.
Quota. I'm a quota on that one.
And it's one of those films where there are a lot of comedians. I think Mel Smith is in there. Peter Cook is in there. Christopher Guest.
Six-fingered.
But there aren't enough six-fingered characters in the cinema. Let's get some more of them.
Problem.
Can we go more obscure, Ed?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
G'day, boys. There was a movie called Old School, and Will Ferrell played a bloke called Frank the Tank.
It's quite a main role.
Yeah, but what was your favourite Frank the Tank moment?
Well, he started off as a pretty humble bloke, about to settle down, and then he ended up having beer bongs and running around the street naked, and I think he ended up a swinger at the end with Juliette Lewis.
Yes, it's hard to top the scene where he shoots himself with a tranquilizer dart.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a funny bit.
And it is a great streaking scene as well.
And excellent.
Is that the only movie where Will Ferrell has played like a normal person?
Linda
and Melinda.
Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah, apart from those two.
Bewitched, you know.
And the others. Who have we got?
Hi, Sam, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks. I'm thinking of the boss from Happy Gilmore, the one with the nail in his head.
Who is that? What's that guy's name?
Can you do any of his dialogue?
I think it's, I'll see you in the parking lot after the game.
Yeah, that's a giant of a man.
I think it's the guy who played Lurch from the Addams Family, wasn't it?
I don't know.
The nerd advisory board can't confirm that one.
Come on, Ed, you should know that.
You're right, I should.
We'll farm that out to one of our contractors.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler films, are they that big in the UK?
Yeah, no, I don't think they really are. It's something about that sort of frat boy sense of humour that's never really appealed to me. Although Happy Gilmore's all right, I think.
Yeah, even people who hate Adam Sandler love the scene where he gets into a fist fight with the host of The New Price is Right on the golf course. That's
Bob Parker. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Excellent. What do you got for us?
The character's name is Oddball.
Yeah.
He's in a movie called Kelly's Heroes, and he's played by Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
You seen this, Rich?
Yeah, I've seen Kelly's Heroes. It's the sequel, isn't it? To Dirty Dozen, is it?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, yes, that rings a bell.
Characters out of Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, and what does Oddball get up to?
Oh, well, he's completely bananas. He commands these three tanks who've been hired or, you know, asked by this leader of the group to go and steal some gold from a Nazi-held town. He, as part of his character, his tanks have got loudspeakers that when they go into battle start playing music really, really loud. He's got shells that don't explode. They have painted them, so that paint pretty pictures, as he says. In one scene, he and his tanks blow up this railway crossing that's held by Germans, and as they're leaving the wreckage and destruction, it's got, "We've been working on the railroad."
Yes. It sounds very similar to some of the footage you see on YouTube from the Iraq War made by the soldiers themselves.
The killumentaries. thank you very much, Scott. Hi, Paul. How are you?
How about, guys?
Good, man. Who are you championing today?
The Bowtie Killer from Problem Child.
Oh. Now, hang on a second. Is this... who plays that guy?
Do you know the
problem?
Michael Richards.
Michael Richards, before he went bad.
Wow. Yeah. Before he had a go.
There's not many other films with Michael Richards. I know he's in Weird Al Yankovic's...
And he's in Unstrung Heroes.
Yeah, Unstrung Heroes. Very obscure.
And Lost in Yonkers.
Airheads.
Airheads.
Duty? Was he in Jury Duty?
In Jury Duty? Paulie Shore?
No, you're thinking of Trial and Error.
I don't think I've ever felt as out of my depth, ever. There are four people and a listener all talking about obscure Michael Richards songs.
There's no denying that. The Bowtie Killer in Problem Child 1. Can we go more obscure?
John, how are you?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Excellent. Who have you got?
You remember the movie Best in Show?
Yes.
Yeah, Eugene Levy's character in that with the two left feet.
Oh, that's right.
He's slept with everyone.
His wife. Cookie, his wife in that, is great. I love all of the characters that come up and kind of, you know, try and reminisce about the time they slept with his wife. Those guys are hilarious.
How many times have you watched Best in Show?
Uh, fair few. We bought the DVD of it, and it gets a run every now and then.
Yeah, true. Do you like those films, the guest comedy?
I think they're really, really good. Yeah, yeah. Although I didn't see For Your Consideration.
No, I haven't seen them. It wasn't in the mockumentary style.
Right, yeah.
But it's hard to go past Fred Willard in Best in Show as the dog commentator.
Sure. Absolutely, yeah.
He went for her like she was made out of ham.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Oh, hi. Who have you got for us?
Well, it's actually an actor, Tracy Walder.
Yes.
He's fantastic. He's your poor man's Clint Howard.
Yes. And there's a lot of people fighting for that.
Yeah.
And what is he in? Repo Man.
Repo Man. If you want strange, unusual characters, he always pops up. He's in a couple of Johnny Depp films.
What? Which one's he in?
Married to the Mob. He's the guy that gets the two chickens and he wants to make love just as Michelle Pfeiffer's going for a chicken job.
A classic scene.
Yeah, Aaron Brockovich. But if you just want a weird, creepy, balding old guy, they go to him.
Who is he? In Repo Man, he's the guy who says, he talks about the book called Diuretics. Say you'll be thinking about a plate or a shrimp, and someone says, plate of shrimp. It's all about the lattice of consciousness.
I don't think we're going to top that.
No.
And we've barely had a chance to. Thanks to everybody. Cool.
Yeah, that sorry was, the people we couldn't get to.
But David, you know about music. You play music, and we've barely talked about it, so let's do it next on Get This. Yeah, it's Hump to Bump. Chili Peppers here at Get This. I should just say that a lot of people have called in. Over 100 people have called in to say the man with a nail in his head in, was it Happy Gilmore? Happy Gilmore, of course, the headmaster, was Richard Keel from the Jaws, from the James Bond films. Jaws metal films. Teeth, yeah. Scary. Threatening James Bond, bizarrely discovers romance at the end of Moonraker, if you remember.
Over 100 people. Yeah. Whoa.
Over 100 people.
Our whole listeners. Every single listener called in. Nice to speak to you all.
Mobilised. David O'Doherty is the other voice you're hearing today.
Who's got an album? You've got an album coming out, David.
I recorded an album in my apartment. I live in basically a large room in Dublin. And I decided to, I want to record it there because like, that's where I write most of my stuff and most of my songs. So it involved borrowing chairs off neighbors. We stole patio furniture from a bar around the corner.
Yeah.
We built a stage out of bread crates and we fit 35 people in. There was no room for the sound recording equipment, so that had to go down the stairs and went into my friend's apartment. And we came out with this. I always wanted to be dressed as a pirate on the front of an album if I ever released it. So it's called Giggle Me Timbers. Or... It's got brackets after it, or jokes ahoy. I couldn't decide which. So I called
let the punters pick. And you tried to get to what number 20? You were saying you were trying to get it into the charts?
Well, I tried to get a single of mine to number 30. It was number 27 in the Irish charts. It was always a dream of mine. Because the Irish charts are just dominated by dudes in white suits.
Kershaw style.
Who really mean it. Well, more in the contemporary pop style.
So I
tried to record one of those and got it to number 30, yeah. Got a 3 off.
Three away.
Well, February is the month because I didn't know about this, but people buy lots of singles going up to Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then in January they spend vouchers. But in February, not a sinner buys singles in Ireland. So we got it in there with 200 units of chart ranking sales. Number 30. Boom.
200?
Yeah. Which was all of my friends.
That's fantastic. I have to say on this show, there's not a lot of musical skill. We launched a very poor April Fool's prank recently. There was a story in the news that in Serbia, this is true. This is good for your obscure facts. They're erecting a statue of Samantha Fox. To thank her for her recent promotional visit. A statue. And there's already a statue in Serbia somewhere. And this isn't all for real. Of Rocky. Of the character of Rocky. So we tried to claim. And I hope no one's offended by this. It is meant to be a salute to a great nation.
It is your voice on the sketch, so if they are, they'll know where to find you.
We tried to claim that due to a recent promotional visit, the new national anthem of Serbia is in fact the theme song to Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, wow.
Republic of Serbia.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. With us any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true.
Republic of Serbia.
Nothing's gonna turn us back now. Straight ahead and on the track now. We're gonna make our dreams come true.
On the Balkan Peninsula.
This time, there's no stopping us.
Watch out, Macedonia.
On your mark, get set, and know now. God
Croatia's way. Make all our dreams come true and we'll do it Serbia's way, not Bosnia's way. Make all our dreams come true for me and you and Serbians too.
And yet no one was buying it, David. Not one person was fooled.
February, we head over to Serbia. Bang. See how we can go.
Yeah, I think the key word in that sentence is bang.
I've done lots of shows around your beautiful country. I once did a gig in Mount Isa in Queensland. Mm. And Greg Norman was born there. And they had, to commemorate that, they had the coffee duck in the airport was called the Greg Norman Coffee Duck. And it's about 6 feet long and it serves decaf and caffeinated beverages.
Fitting tribute.
Yeah.
Fitting tribute. Also, thank you for mentioning Mount Isa, because Perry has called to say that the old KFC ad is on in my KFC ad is on in Mount Isa as well. Right. So
you're in a KFC ad?
Oh, yeah. Things have changed.
Look at David O'Doherty, green with him.
Oh, yeah.
What do you say in it?
It's a burger-based ad. Yeah. So it's me and a friend, a life partner, going to KFC each day. And we go there so much, David, we don't have to say anything. We just look at them and they know which burger we want.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I'm sporting an amazing helmet of hair and my own pink shirt that I brought. And it's got momentum is what it's got. Because we filmed it last year. This is its third replay.
Yeah.
Man. Wow. So
imagine how you'd look if you went to KFC every day. Sorry. Does that get you in trouble? You probably
look amazing.
Too fresh-faced.
You look like that bloke right there. We'll get back to wind-up proceedings in just a moment. I'll get this. Oh, have we ever run this late on Get This?
We
haven't.
We're very sorry.
I blame our wonderful guest, David O'Doherty.
Thanks
for sitting in for the whole hour, those obscure movie characters.
Now, where can we look out for you if we're watching Comedy Central?
Oh, yeah, I have a 3-second cameo in Dimitri Martin's Comedy Central special.
Bang.
So if any ladies are interested, you know where to find me.
He's flown all the way to Australia just to promote that. I mean, that is putting in. Oh, and there is a show. David O'Doherty is my name. You have to go and see this fine stand-up comedy night from the 5th. That's this Thursday at the Hi-Fi Bar and Ballroom in Melbourne, and then possibly coming to your town. What a treat it's been, David. I hope we'll see you next year.
Thanks, dude. Sorry if you were listening to the news, people.
That's
replacing the news.
This is just pretty much the same material. And Richard, I think our key phrase today, what was it your ex-girlfriend had you doing?
Expressing a dog's anal glands.
There we go.
And it's clearly Irish Comedy Week. We'll be joined tomorrow by Ardal O'Hanlon.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to As Yet Nobody.
Dirty man whore.